welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Ready to open up the Bible with me, Doxodeo Hatfield? Usually we start like millions of sermons like that, open up your Bible too, but there's no place to open it to specifically today. We just finished up for 12 weeks the book of Galatians, but today we're starting something of a thematic sermon series, so you can just have your Bible close by. We're going to read a ton of scripture, but it's not going to be out of one specific passage. But maybe I can start here with the very wise and poignant words of the Old Testament prophet Forrest Gump, who says, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get." Isn't that true? In December, you're like, I agree with this man. And that's the reality, isn't it? That life is actually basically, if you think about it, a series of transitions between a whole bunch of things. And in these transition moments, we have moments of challenge and excitement and growth and opportunity basically for us to learn about ourselves and move forward. But the beautiful thing is, I don't know what your maybe religious background is today. Yesterday at a wedding, I was also preaching and just inviting people again to say, I'm not going to shove religion down your throat, but I want to speak about Jesus very unapologetically. So I don't know what your background is, but I want to tell you that if you are walking with God, the reality, the invitation is that God says, listen, I can walk into and with you through these transitions. And that means that those transition moments can become moments where I actually, as every exit of life is sometimes challenging, walking with God means that they automatically become entries into new realms, real, you know, moments of growth, new ideas and perspectives of God's grace and His character and His calling upon your life. You see, Christianity does not promise us a life free from transitions or free from these difficulties, but it promises something much, much greater. And that is a God who says, I will be with you in all of those moments. I mean, there's a million scriptures I can read, but just on the slide, you'll see just a couple of them. God says to Moses, as he sends him out, who am I to say that I need to do this that you've called me to do? And he says, certainly I will be with you. He says to Isaac, go back to the land of your ancestors and to your family and know this, I will be with you. He says to Joshua, haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous? And know this, that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He says to Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The rivers will not overwhelm you. He says to Jeremiah, do not be afraid of anyone. Why? For I will be with you. He says to Mary in the beginning of the book of Luke, the angel comes to her and he says on behalf as a messenger of God, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. In the book of Acts, we see Paul in this key moment of being intimidated by the calling that God has upon his life. And God says in this vision to him, do not be afraid, but keep on speaking and don't be silent, for I am with you. And finally, one of these incredible moments that has reshaped the whole almost fabric of the human race since that day, Jesus resurrected again, gathers together his followers, and he says to them, go out and make disciples, followers of Jesus, baptize them, teach them, and know this, that I am with you always to the end of the age. The transitions will happen. Life is going to happen, friends. There's a very naughty way to say that, but life is going to happen. But the option we have is to say, well, I trust God enough to walk with him through those transitions because his promise is that he will be there. He will be there. And so as Jesus followers, though we're not exempt from the transitions, what we can say is, man, we have access to the wisdom of Scripture. We have access to the example of Jesus. And we have access to the power of the Holy Spirit to help us grow in these moments. What is it that God potentially will want to see in your life come from these moments of transitioning? And so, like I said, we just finished up Galatians, but today we're going to start for the next 2 months a kind of two-sided coin series that we're calling Transitions, where we are going to look at what it means to end off seasons well, and what does it mean to begin new seasons well. as a Christian. And we're going to say, God, will you come and teach us to not simply go through change, but to transition through the power of the Holy Spirit and your wisdom. That could be just the end of the year. It could just be a new job opportunity. You could be moving somewhere soon. It could be the end of a relationship. It could be the taking up of a new responsibility. It could be something that you're staring down at the moment that's come your way, but you don't know how to face. Transitions in life are everywhere. And the question to us is, God, will you teach us how to end things well? Will you teach us how to begin new things well? So over the month of December, we're going to look at four keys of ending well. And over the month of January, we're going to look at four keys of how do we begin new things well. And then I'm going to ask, they're going to just send this little basket around and you can take one. So we've made a booklet for every single person in the church. And over this next season, you'll see that it has spaces for reflection, for writing, for contemplation. The idea is not primarily, you can if you want to make a couple of notes during the sermons, but it's primarily there for you to take and spend time with God. And say, God, as I'm going to take over these 8 weeks, the one side of the booklet is the four beginnings, the other side is the four endings. And every week I want to ask you to bring this with. This is very possible that this will just end up in a dustbin somewhere, but I want to say that will be to your detriment. I really want to ask us to be mature about this. There's such an opportunity of growth and of breakthrough if we were to say, God, I'm willing to trust you with my endings. I'm willing to journey with you in my beginnings. And all I'm asking is this. I know especially men, we're not big on like journaling and all that kind of stuff, but this is a key moment for you to say, during these moments of investing in the scripture, during just one or two moments, maybe it's in a bathroom stall, maybe it's in a broom closet if you've got a million kids at home, maybe it's in a break just at work. If you're not a student who has like 7 months of holiday and you're actually still working at this time of the year, somewhere in your next couple of weeks, every week, just take one moment, be quiet, say, Holy Spirit, will you come and speak to me? Will you come and help me reflect? Will you come and help me grow? I want to have my ear open to you. God, you have been, and life has been writing a chapter, but now the chapter heading needs to be written, and I want you to do that with me. So the first key that we're going to look at then as we kick off the series today, the first key to ending our seasons of life, whatever they are, to end them well, is to what? Is to take time to reflect. Reflection. Now, why is this so incredibly important to us? Because reflection allows us to acknowledge. Sometimes we don't like to do this, especially I've seen some Christians that believe for some reason that Christianity equals an easy life. And then they think that if they are facing difficulties, it's because they're doing something wrong. And I want to challenge us, maybe read the Bible. That will help us to see that Christians over many, many years have faced the hardships from all sorts. The world has fallen. The enemy is out to get us. Our flesh at times wants to go back to what is comfortable and what was part of our old nature. The reality is that life is going to happen. And so what we can say to one another is when I take time to reflect through the seasons that come over my life, I can acknowledge both the joys and the not so joys, right? What's your word for the not so joyful things this year? It can't be Eskom, sorry, that's not a descriptor. That is a company, that's a state-owned entity. So we often have to acknowledge as Christians. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to have answers for things, but acknowledging those things. Asking, Lord, will you come and shape my thinking? No one is as influential in your life as you, because no one speaks to yourself as much as you do. So unless the Holy Spirit is going to come and join in and at times really take the wheel with these conversations about this last season, you might end up believing things about God, about yourself, about your life that's not true. So how do we do that? In these moments, we can create space then for God to come and realign us, to learn lessons, to dwell on who God is and the way that he used me this last season as a city changer. There's a really fascinating movie called Boyhood. It came out in 2014. Ethan Hawke is one of the kind of main actors in it. And what made it such a landmark film is that they actually shot this movie over literally 12 years. So not only is it depicting 12 years of actual life, but it was produced over literally 12 years. And it shows the perspective of this young boy, literally over 12 years of his life, through his eyes, through his experiences. And I think what caught this Oscar-winning movie, what caught the attention of people, what so riveted them, is not necessarily even the storyline or anything like that. It's not an action movie. It's not a sci-fi movie. There's nothing fantastical that happens. What struck us is this, for us to get the opportunity almost with such perspective to see those transitions in life. I almost realized, man, I went through all of these things myself, but it almost feels like I never took the time to ask about the significance. about some of the trauma, about some of the challenge, about some of the growth. And now I have the opportunity to see that in the life of someone else. You know what? It makes me almost feel like I want to do that. I want to be able to step back and say, God, help me see the bigger picture of my life. I can't just be in my life with blinders on next weekend, next month, 31st of December. You know what comes after the 31st of December? It's fantastic. The 1st of January. It's very near. Now, what does it look like when we say, God, will you come and take us through these transitions? Because guess what? All of us are going to feel it, friends. None of us are exempt here. Teenagers feel it when life just beyond home and high school, that was so exciting, suddenly confronts them with just a dizzying array of choices. Sometimes a lack of choices. University students are confronted with it when the excitement of, you know, the world is my oyster, now I'm going to tackle it, you know, grab it by the horns, is suddenly chilled by the thought that opening up one choice means closing down a whole bunch of other ones, which is the right one. Those in the early 30s feel it when they, that kind of daily grind of life and just, you know, the early starry-eyed considerations of my life and my career and all these things have just been replaced by something of a week to week. And I always start asking, is this what I'm meant to do? Am I in the right place? Is this who I am? People in midlife, I think, face it when something of a mismatch between their gifting in life and their work reminds them daily, can I still see myself doing this over the next 20 years? What would joyfulness and effectiveness mean in my work? Well, will I have the respect of my adult children the way I'm conducting my life at the moment? Or maybe parents in their 50s that have even had enormous success, they sometimes suddenly come up against the ceiling of this question of legacy and significance. I don't have three times left, you know, over in my life. What will I be remembered for? What will I actually do? How can I dent this world for good? All of us are going to face moments of transition where life is saying, this is important. You can have it happen to you, or you can move through it with wisdom. And here's the amazing invitation. I think God invites us. The scripture is so rich with a theme of deep, spirit-led and God-focused reflection. Reflection can really be a destructive thing. Reflection can be a painful thing, or reflection can be something that takes me toward who God wants me to be. It can take me toward the more of who I am in my identity in God. It can take me toward my calling as a city changer. Or again, there's a million, but let me just give you a whole bunch of scriptures that just point to this moment of saying, God, I'm going to quiet my heart, focus on you. Lamentations 3:40 says, let's examine, reflect, let's probe the ways of our lives. Psalm 119:59 says, I have thought about my ways. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God. What a powerful prayer. Know my heart, God. Test me and my concerns. Proverbs 4:26 says, carefully consider the path for your feet. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself, examine yourself. And then Philippians 4:8, I think just in a very different way, just brings it to what we actually want to see happening in these moments. And that is Paul finishing off the letter to the Philippians. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true or honorable or just or pure or lovely or commendable, dwell on these things. That's a word you can't say quickly. Dwell. You need to dwell on these things. Contemplate, reflect. God, who am I in you? The last season has had so many joys, but genuinely also confusion, doubt, hurt. God, I want to dwell on what it is that you want for me and who you are. Now, here's the reality, friends. Part of why your booklet might just end up in the dustbin is, guess what? The enemy does not want you to reflect with God on your life. Is it because he wants you, you know, to be filled with pentagrams and all coked up and drugged up, and he wants you to be lying out on the streets and he's got all these crazy plans? He doesn't need to do that. I'm sure he'd be very pleased with himself if he could get you there, but he doesn't need to get us there. He does needs to keep you busy and occupied. He just needs to make sure that you are busy with what Richard Foster would call muchness and manyness. Who's got time to reflect? Ain't nobody got time for that. It's the end of the year. It's year-end things. It's this, it's that. It's, you know, and then I need to start my year. I don't have time to reflect upon who God is in my life. And the enemy is just so pleased with that. Just stay on the treadmill of worry and anxiety and stress and more and the next thing and the much and the many. That's perfectly fine. I don't need to get you to the place where you've got a pentagram tattooed on your forehead. That's not necessary. I'll just keep you busy, occupied, stressed out, and anxious. That's all I need to do. And so Richard Foster says, in our modern culture, the enemy majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. That's going to be one of the options for you over the next 2 months. Noise, hurry, and crowds. And God is saying, no, I'm inviting you to say, man, the next season of your life can be so impactful. The last season of your life had so much in it, but you're going to have to come and sit with me. You're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to speak with me. We're going to have to process through things. And that doesn't have to be lovey-dovey. Have you read the Psalms? Have you read Psalm 88? So many of the Psalms, half of the Psalms are Psalms of what they call lament, where it's basically, God, are you asleep at the wheel? No answer. Great. End of Psalm. Move on. That's a lot of the Psalms. God can handle all of your emotions, friends. I think God can handle more of your emotions than you can handle. He wants you to speak and listen and process, because there is where the growth is going to happen. So William Bridges, he was actually a pioneer in the field of the psychology of transitions. There's a field like that where they teach people how to transition through things. And I think he makes such a good point. He says there is a massive difference between change and transitions. And he says, guess what? Change happens to everyone. You could even say today, I've already switched off. Like, we were doing Galatians. I was in for the theology. Now it's this fluffy, you know, sounds like pop psychology this morning. That's perfectly fine. But you need to realize that, guess what? Change is still going to happen to you. You just have to exist. Just suck up oxygen and change is going to happen to you. So he says two options. Change will happen because that's an external reality, but transitions are an internal process. The changes of life will come, but I have the option to transition internally through those changes. And I believe God, who wants us holistically to grow into maturity, I know that's what his heart is for us. So man, I want to say we can navigate these seasons. We can navigate these seasons of transition. Why? Because we have a God who says, I am with you. Trust me. Trust me. So how are we going to do that? Just two things today. Number one is, I'm going to ask us just this question. Looking at this past season of your life, what should we be reflecting on? What should we be reflecting on? Like I said, you can use the booklet for one or two notes from the sermon, but it's mainly there for you. This is for you to take. This is your handbook for the next 2 months. Now, here's the thing. There is no set way to do this. How do I reflect upon the last season? Maybe it's the year for you. Maybe it's the ending of some relationship. Maybe you are making a career change in the season. So what the last season looks like is too varied, and there's too many variables for me to say, here is the one and only way to do this. There is no one way. In fact, I think the more you would just trust God just to speak in your mind to you and help you shape this process, the better. But I want to give us some handles. And the one thing that I would say is you need to find a lens that you can look through for this process. How will I look at the last season so that I can process? We're going to send out all these slides to you as well, if it helps, on the partners group, of course, if you are a partner. But let me give you some options. This is not the be-all and end-all, just three different options. You can choose your own, or maybe you have a lens that really suits. It's a glove that fits your hand for the last season you were in. But one way to look at it would be to say, as a disciple of Jesus, as Dr. Deo, you'll see in the front left there, this is often how we speak about what are the three focuses of someone who is following Jesus, and that is that they are knowing, being known by God, knowing God, loving people, and impacting my world. These are the three things that a disciple is always rotating between. Man, I'm standing in a newly defined relationship with God, established by Jesus, adopted, newly born, new creation. My relationship to God, to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, that is where all reality is defined. So a disciple is always in relationship to God. But secondly, there's an element of God calling me to love those around me, to love those within my community, to love my neighbor as myself. And then thirdly, God has called me as a plumber, poet, pediatrician, programmer, painter. He's called me to that. He doesn't want everyone to be a pastor. He doesn't want everyone to go to China as a missionary. He wants 99.9% of people to go into the city on Monday with a calling from God. And so I am making an impact in my home, in my office, in my street, in my city. And so maybe I can ask myself through the lens of those three things. Over the last season, what have been some of the highs and the lows, the moments of impact and learning, some of the struggles and the frustrations about relationship with God, knowing God? What have been some of the things in reality of loving people, or the lack thereof, or the conviction around that? And maybe thirdly, when it comes to impacting my world, man, I can't overestimate what God can do in 5 years, but I shouldn't underestimate what he can do in 50 years of my life. Some of us that are 25, 35, 45, man, I'm hoping that in 20 years from now, you're saying that my calling on a Monday has become razor sharp over the last 20 years. I know what God has called me to. And so maybe I should ask myself those questions about what does it mean to impact my world. Maybe one other option could be something that we've spoken about in our series last year called Us. We spoke about the great call upon every single human being. This is a universal thing. And what is that calling that every single person, every single human being has? And that is the invitation by God to what? Live in relationship with him and to live as a representative of him. To live in a relationship with God, to live as a representative of God. I was saying to some of the guys, we've got a whole bunch that are now also having to go and do their comm serve somewhere, you know, in the country. And it's like, oh, you know, I'm making my picks and where am I going to end up? And I need to get to the will of God. And, you know, am I in the right place? And I want to miss what he's... And often it just comes back to this. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter where you end up. Live in a relationship with God. Live as a representative of God. Who's the right person to marry? And what job should I take? And what? And the lady said that my skill set is better to go and study this, but I want to say, listen, all those things are really important. Ask God, journey with God, learn to hear his voice. But at the end of the day, you can never miss what it is that God wants to do as long as you live in a relationship with him and you live as a representative of him. And so maybe just using those two very simple lenses, take your two pages and say, God, in relationship with you, what does the last season look like? The ups and the downs, the learnings and the frustrations. And on the other page, just saying, God, as a representative of you, what does this last season look like? Hebrews 11:8 says of Abraham that when he was called, he obeyed and he set out. He went out. So what is it saying? Abraham was called in and then sent out. Adam and Eve are called into relationship and then commissioned, sent out to care for, cultivate, and keep creation. Moses is called into relationship and he's sent to go and free the Israelites. Paul is called into relationship with God on the Damascus Road and then he's sent out to go and reach the pagan nations and the Gentiles with the gospel. Jesus calls his disciples in and then he says, I will make you fishers of men. Now go in the Great Commission. This is the rhythm of God. Come and stand in relationship with me. Come and receive salvation. Come and receive a word spoken over you like you are my beloved son and daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Let the cross of Jesus wash you clean. Let it save you, redeem you, restore you, and then I'm going to send you out as a plumber, poet, pediatrician, programmer. Maybe one more lens that you could try on there is what about just taking the roles in your life? Not the roles, because I know it's close to, it's like holiday time, so everyone's working on that, but the roles. I know those roles you can really like grab hold of, but let's look at the other roles in our lives. Maybe it's just chuckles. It's like a golf clap from everyone. Maybe you say, if I look at some of the roles in my life, thank you, Taiki, Jesus follower maybe, daughter, sister, maybe you are a spouse, maybe you are a mom, maybe you are a business owner. Maybe you're a student. Maybe you are a partner here in Doxedo Hatfield. What are all the different roles in your life? And maybe just to take each of those and to say, God, I'm really asking your wisdom. I'm asking your perspective. I'm asking your Holy Spirit to come and re-gear me, realign me for the different roles in my life. Where have I just seen you shine through? Where are the places that I'm trusting you in this next season? Maybe that could be some of the lenses that you take up. And then the second question would just simply be this. If we ask firstly in this past season, what should we be reflecting on? Maybe the second question could just be, what kinds of questions can help me reflect well? Who is it that often says that the quality of your life comes down to the quality of the questions that you ask? And I want to say this whole season, this season of reflection is literally going to come down to, Holy Spirit, help me to ask the right questions, even if it's one question. And help me take that seriously. It can absolutely change the direction of your life, of your marriage, of your parenting, of your following of Jesus. So again, I'm not going to tell you what those questions are, but you can come up with your own questions. You can sit as a couple and say, man, what are the questions that we want to ask about ourselves in the last season? But to help us, and like I said, we'll send this out in the partners group. Mana Lisa is telling me the Lord is about to descend upon us. So let's end off. If we look at this past season, let me give you just some questions. This is not prescriptive. Like I said, we'll send this on the partners group, but maybe some of these questions help you. Questions like, where was God's presence evident in my life in this past season? What went well in this last season? Man, what am I proud of? Or where did I grow? What would I have done differently? What direction did God clearly lead me in? When have I felt disappointed and why? In this past season, how did God use me for his kingdom? How did God use me just in the ordinary of life? What spiritual disciplines helped me to draw close to God? What have I heard God say to me in this last season, just in a still small voice? What obstacles or challenges did I overcome? What good habits helped me to be propelled forward? And what habits maybe held me back from being the best version of myself? Friends, I want to say maybe the best thing that we can do in a season of reflection is to reflect just on who God is. You know what my soul needs more than anything else? Psalm 116 verse 7 just says this, "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." You know what? Often, the circumstances of life will not be such that my soul will want to be at rest. Life is just too broken at times. The world is too fallen at times. When at times you said as a kid, that's not fair. You didn't realize that you were saying something that's going to be true for many seasons of life. It doesn't feel fair. But the promise of Christianity is not that the world will be fully restored before Christ comes back, but that we would see his restoration happen through us, and that God would be so powerfully with us that as we focus on him and his character and his goodness, that our soul, almost like a child coming to you in the evening, just wanting to be held and then just almost be taken to that place of saying, you can go back to bed now. It's okay. Sometimes my soul just needs that. You can go and rest now. Rest not in the circumstances. Rest not in the diagnoses. Rest not in the bank balance. Rest not in the question marks. Rest not in the load shedding schedule, but rest in who God is. So I'll end off. Christopher Hortz, he says something I think really profound. He speaks about how we start living intentionally with seasons and how we put things in place so that we can do these things as Christians. And he makes this profound statement. He says, "Today I know, as I've journeyed through this over my life, that Sabbath is for rest, vacations are for recreation. You need to have fun. But retreats, moment of retreating, is for reflection." Now, retreating to a mountaintop somewhere and sitting with the pandas and chewing on a leaf, that would be amazing. But we don't need to do that. You don't have to have that to have retreat. I want to encourage you that in the next couple of weeks, retreat can simply mean a half an hour earlier in the morning, I'm just going to sit with coffee in hand, Bible in hand, booklet in hand, and I'm just going to say, God, will you come and help me reflect? It could just be in a lunch break over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to retreat into a time of reflection. And I want to encourage you this, man, God promises he is with you. Change will come, but transition, wisdom, growth, that's a promise from God. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, I pray this morning that we would know you in the transitions of our lives. I know that there are many people here today that are so excited about what you're doing, and there are many others that are really facing incredibly difficult decisions and challenges and are coming out of things and about to enter into things. And I just pray that we would practice your presence, practice your power, practice your wisdom, receive who you are. Jesus, we love you, and we desire to be everything that you have made us to be. And so will you teach us? In your name alone.